Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on Patriots.com Radio.
First and 10 at the Buffalo 26. Brady empty backfield shotgun. Time to throw toward the end zone. Touchdown, Rob Gronkowski.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
And good afternoon, everybody. I know, it's one of those unbelievable sports hangover days, and not in a good way, but we'll get to all that. Welcome to the Pete Shepherd Show right here on Patriots.com. We broadcast live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. Email me, webradio, patriot.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, or Facebook me at Pete Shepherd, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. Our pal Brian Lowe usually does the fantasy football lowdown. He's not here today due to the Jewish holiday Rosh Hashanah. But my buddy Mike Cambria, a.k.a. Poker Mike, is with me today, who's a great fantasy football guy, and he is here to try to help you answer questions as well. So please feel free to email me, as always, in the first hour, and we'll get the questions over to Mike, and he'll do his best to help you out. He's a great fantasy guy, very much in tune, very much like Brian is. And we'll get into that in a second. Before we start with the fantasy football, just a quick touch. I have to do this. I feel I must. Like everyone else has in the world of sports, I know it's Patriots.com, but I do have to just spend just a minute on what that was last night. For me, was one of the most surreal sports experiences I've ever had in my life. I'm still not angry. I don't know why. I'm still, quite frankly, stunned. I still don't know. I've never seen 3.5 minutes of baseball like that in my life, where two games were like parallel. It was like watching. It was just unbelievable. It got from ugly, bad to ugly to horrible to absolutely shock and chagrin. And I've never witnessed anything like. I thought I had experienced every emotion as a sports fan until last night. And certainly I thought the Red Sox over the years, what they've the emotional swings I've had with that team all the way up and down, and the dramatic collapses and the dramatic wins and all that stuff. But nothing could have prepared me for what happened last night between the Red Sox and Orioles and the Reds and the Yankees and Tampa Bay. I'm not going to go into detail because every station's been running it, and you know all the highlights. You know what happened. I am just absolutely stunned, and I know change is going to have to be made. All I am saying is I throw a shout out. And I hope this doesn't happen. I hope Terry Francona does not get fired. It's probably not going to be the case. There's a good chance that he and Theo both may not be there. There's a good chance both of them might be back, regardless of what you may think. But my take on it, just real quick, is that you had your so-called number one and number two pitchers still in Beckett and Lester, who could not get the job done in the month of September at all. And guys in the past, like Clemens and Pedro and Schilling, did not lose games like that down the stretch. Lackey, gotta go. Gotta go. They're gonna find a way to get him out. And the bad base running that we saw, I mean, as well, you know, Scudero has played great, pleasant surprise, especially the last month of the season, got a lot of big hits, but made a big base running blunder. He says it's because he thought there were so many Red Sox fans, and you know, he's blaming the fans. Others are blaming injuries. And then Alex Gonzalez comes out today and really does a double whammy. And he does something that I so much can't stand and have ripped players over the years. I'm going to rip him. Please do not bring religion into sports. Please do not tell me how God is a fan of this team or that team or has any way, shape, or form going to dictate how games are going to go. So when I hear Adrian Gonzalez say it wasn't God's plan for this and it wasn't God's plan for that, trust me. I'm Roman Catholic, and I pray every day in my own way. Believe me. I don't mess with the baby Jesus. But I'll tell you this. It just kills me. It infuriates me when I hear any athlete talk about God and how the outcome of the game was dictated by God or should have been by God, or he's a fan of this team or not a fan of that team. It's just unbelievable. And then he goes on and makes a really ridiculous, stupid, idiotic comment. And I love Adrian Gonzalez. I think he's, you know, all that stuff. Great. But you can't talk about the schedule, about the Red Sox playing national games on TV. And then, that was part of it because he felt a little tired and worn out. Give me a break. And maybe he, in the long run, maybe he's not suited to play in this market. And it might be the same for Carl Crawford, who had three huge drops this month that cost them games. But just want to let you know where I stand. I think the one guy who I hope does not take the fall for this is Terry Francona. Does he deserve a little bit of the blame? Yeah, and I mean a little bit. You can say what you want about some of the managerial decisions over this year. The Buchholz injury didn't help, but every team had injuries. I don't want to hear that excuse either. Every team had injuries. They had all they had to do was win a couple of games. All they had to do was have Lester and Beckett win a game here or there, and this all would have been over. And those guys couldn't get it done. They couldn't get it done. And Bedard couldn't get it done. And then there's some horrible base running at times, some horrible defense this month. I think it's really easy to just blame the manager for all that. Real easy. And I hope we're all, as a unit, better than that, because it's too easy to just point the finger at Francona. When you go back and see all the boneheaded plays that they made in the field. Now, Terry can't go out and feel the ball, and the stuff about this rah-rah stuff about how he doesn't show emotion and doesn't kick their ass on the field and doesn't yell at them. You people don't know what he does behind closed doors. Nobody does. He is not the kind of guy, and I'm glad for it, that show up a person in the dugout. All right? He's not Ozzie Guillen. He's not Ozzie Guillen, okay? So that's all I'm going to say. We all know it was a monumental collapse. Horrible. Changes are going to be made. Third base coach, who knows, pitching coach, possibly Theo, possibly Terry. And Lackey's the one guy for me that absolutely has to go. I mean, he was just abominable this year. Atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. So that's it. With that said, back to the Patriots and fantasy football lowdown. Again, my good pal Mike Hambry is here, who's a great fantasy football guy, filling in for Brian Lowe. This is the Patriots fantasy football lowdown. But today, Michael Cambria is stepping in for our good pal Brian Lowe, who's off today. And we've got lots of emails already and phone calls as well. But Mike, welcome. Welcome to the show. How you doing? Get closer to the – Be gonna be right. You're gonna turn your mic on too.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! I'm yelling into the microphone. I can't even get it.
You gotta move it closer to your mouth. You gotta be basically.
What's your name? First time.
Now you're good.
But
now
you know what?
There you go.
I'm here, Pete.
You're good.
Thank God.
So you're gonna be in place of Brian today. You're gonna answer a lot of the questions, and it's gonna be interesting. The one question I have for you right off the bat, and I was thinking of you, and I'm sure if Brian were here, I'd be saying the same thing. There's a Chris Johnson that plays for the Raiders who sucks at cornerback, but we don't care about him. But what is going on with Mr. Johnson? Do you have confidence in him? Do you start him this week?
I don't have a choice. We talked last week, obviously. If you remember, I the trade that I discussed with you and Brian last week, it went through. So I had to start Chris Johnson last week. And, I mean, he had a mediocre week, Pete. I mean, it wasn't up to what we were looking for. But, man, he's got to come around, right? I mean, come on.
I don't know. You would think so. Some guys, we signed that big contract. Some guys go down the toilet. I've seen it in all sports. I don't think that'll be the case here, but.
I mean, there was something said about, I guess, the regular fullback is coming back this week. Not even sure his name, but they said that could have been an issue for him. I mean, it's a 50-50. I've actually, since the week ended last week, I've had a couple of offers. You know, as I said before, just to get you up to speed, you know, I have a, you know, diesel running back situation with LeSean McCoy, Ray Rice, and now throwing Chris Johnson in. I mean, I don't see how I could field a better team, you know, to back that up with Phillip Rivers. My wide receivers are a little, you know, iffy, but if I could have bet, you know, the house on my team last week, I would have done it. Just the confidence was high, and I'm not gonna turn my back on him just yet. I can't do it. You know, he's just too powerful of a player. And you and I were talking about the matchup this week with Cleveland. You know, you had said you think that we might have a low scoring game, but he's got a breakout. You know, the crunch time has come for us all. You know, I'm staring literally.
Well, Cleveland's playing Miami. And Tennessee's playing Denver.
Tennessee is playing Denver. Yeah.
All right. And it's in Tennessee, but that and that's an interesting game.
So that I knew it was a
Broncos are tough to figure out right now. Again, it's so early in the season, tough to figure out.
I'm rolling with him, Pete. He's not going anywhere. Lock it up. 30 points.
Well, here's our first question for you right away, and it's an interesting one. Michael Bush or Woodhead?
Oh, God. I actually have Woodhead in one of my other leagues, but I'll tell you, you know, just looking at a player like Darren McFadden, he's lights out. You know, so, I mean, how much can you really expect, barring an injury, you know, how much can you expect from a guy like Michael Bush? I mean, I like him. I think he's a solid player. Comes out of the backfield, catches balls, but McFadden is just, he's too solid. So, on the flip side, you got Woodhead, obviously, you know, just to have any Patriot offensive player is going to benefit your team. I hate to say it, you know, I'm a fan of Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, but, you know, Woodhead just has that something about him. Especially in a PPR league, the guy catches a lot of balls. You know, I have to go with Woodhead in that situation.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, and I think the Patriots' running game. Well, it also depends if Ridley gets used like a little more than last week. But
right.
I still, with Hernandez out, I still think Woodhead is going to have more of an impact with the Patriots than Bush. Well, I agree with you. And that one, I think the Patriots are going to put up a lot of points this week.
I think I'm with you. I mean, just if everybody shows up, I think this is going to be a an over game here this weekend for our.
I have no doubt about that. His Pratt in Maryland says, "I would appreciate your fantasy expertise advice as I have a dilemma regarding my lineup this week. As I have three great wide receiver options to start, but can only start two of the following three: one, Larry Fitzgerald versus the Giants; two, Dez Bryant versus the Lions; three, Mario Manningham at the Cardinals. Which two wide receivers would you start this week?"
I mean, that's a tough situation. I mean, I guess if those are the three guys that he has to choose from, he's not really in a bad position. You can't shy away from Fitzgerald. I mean, he's an absolute beast. So I mean, that's, you have to lock up that right there. Just looking at Arizona this week. What do we got for Arizona this week, Pete? Arizona's
in Seattle.
I mean, right there. I mean, obviously, no-brainer. The only thing that scares me, and I was actually looking at it earlier with Fitzgerald, I mean, there's just really nobody else they throw to. Kevin Kolb is kind of coming into his own, but, you know, either way you shake it. I mean, look at the touchdown that Fitzgerald caught over the weekend. He just literally threw it up there off his back foot, and Fitzgerald came down with it. So that's that's lights out right there.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline quick. Here is Pratt in Maryland. Hey, Pratt.
Hey, Pete. How you doing?
Good. How up? Say hi to Michael, too.
I'm here, Pratt.
Hey, Michael. How you doing?
I'm doing excellent, my friend.
All right. We're missing B-Lo this week, but I'm sure Michael will do a great job.
He does. He knows. He knows
his
stuff.
I'm not the brightest guy in the
world. Big shoes to fill, but I'm trying my best here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I did write that email, and, you know, I wasn't sure if you guys would get to it, so I thought I'd call you guys as well.
That's fine.
Yep.
So, going back to the question I had with Fitzgerald versus the Giants this week.
I don't mean to cut you off, Brett. We're losing our minds. Arizona does have the Giants. What happened? The Red Sox just mess us up? They messed us up, didn't they? No? New York Giants at Arizona. Am I wrong?
That's what I see on the schedule.
That's right. Continue on, Pratt. I just wanted to clear that up.
Look at the sheet you gave me. That's why I thought that was.
And he made me feel like I was losing my mind, Pratt.
What the hell did you give me? Week 3, guys.
No. You gave me week 3.
I got week 4. Get.
You gave me week 3.
Yeah. You know.
I was like, this doesn't look right.
He questions me. Sign the kid up. That's it.
That's all right, Kev. That's my bad.
Continue, please.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, so Fitzgerald versus the Giants, I think I heard you saying that Fitzgerald's a lock.
Absolutely.
And Dez Bryant versus the Lions, since Miles Austin is going to be out, I think he would be an intriguing matchup. But I think the Lions' secondary probably a little, they're probably better than the other secondaries that I have to face up against, because I have the Giants, and Mario Manningham is facing the Cardinals. So I think the Giants and Cardinals both have pretty weak secondaries.
Absolutely. That's a high-scoring game right there. I did a little extra reading on the Giants situation, and I hate to say it because I'd rather not be a Giants fan, but either way you shake it, like, they're going to have a big week. I mean, as far as Eli Manning goes, this is going to be
man.
I know. What are you going to do? You know, you got to roll with it. You got to. I got to get past it. But that is what it is. Manningham, you know,
it is what it is.
That's it. It's going to come out. I'm Italian. What are you going to do? It is what it is. Manningham is going to have a good week this week. Reports just came in from Giants camp. Hakeem Nicks is a little banged up. He's expected to play, which just puts it just puts Manningham in such a better position. Eli Manning killing it last week. On the flip side with Dez Bryant, Pratt, I think he's hurting as well. I don't think he practiced today. He was actually limited in practice. He is probable for this weekend, but, you know, again, he's another lights-out receiver. No Miles Austin. I mean, Romo has to throw to somebody. He's got Jason Witten. If I had to give you my, you know, my expert opinion, obviously go with Fitzgerald. And if you get the go before those games start on Sunday, you got to go with Dez Bryant. I'm high on Manning.
I think the Detroit-Dallas game, just from not only from fantasy point of view, but from a realistic point, I think that is such a tough game to call because you don't know the impact of Romo in that game, if he can survive. You still don't really know what you have in the Detroit Lions. You don't, even though they're undefeated. I feel the same way as I do about the Bills with them, because I've seen it too many times before. Not to say that they won't make, and I did pick the Lions to make the playoffs, but this is going to be a real good test for them if Romo can play the whole game. If Romo doesn't play the whole game, you know, you got to like the Lions' chances.
Absolutely.
So we'll see. Hey, yeah. Pratt, thanks for the call, my friend.
Thank you.
Good luck this weekend.
Let's see what else. Again, you can email me, webradio@patriots.com. Again, Mike Cambry is in today for Brian Lowe, answering all your questions. And let's see if we get some more here. This is an email for later on in the show. We'll get to that one afterwards. That's it.
Week 3 matchups he's talking about. This guy, you know, I guess even the gods make mistakes, right, Pete?
No such thing. All right, here we go. Here's from Dan says, "Hi guys, love the show and the advice I've heard. No lowdown this week. Bummer. Hope you guys will take a stab at these questions. Flex position. Should I start AJ Green, Jeremy Maclin, Daniel Thomas, or Felix Jones? What do you think, Mike?
Jot him down.
AJ Green, Jeremy Maclin, Daniel Thomas or Felix Jones?
You know, I'm just, again, I have to take, you know, kind of like swallow for this one. I mean, AJ Green was a part of my trade last week. I mean, come on. You know, the guy, you know, he plays above and beyond, you know, where we thought he'd be for 2 weeks, and then I get him on my team and he just struggles. So we'll just put that behind me. But I think he's in for a big week this week. That Cincinnati matchup at home against Buffalo, I should say. I think it's a high-scoring game. I don't know. You know, the Bills are going to come out humming. I mean, Cincinnati's going to have no choice but to hang with them, and they, you know, they got to throw the ball, you know. So, I mean, A.J. Green, as a flex position, I think he has a good week. My take on flex positions, this is actually our first year in my league that we have a flex position. Not that a wide receiver, if you get the right wide receiver, especially in a PPR league, a wide receiver could work, but you know, fantasy football, it's running back heavy. I've just always felt that way. So in both of my leagues, I start a running back in that flex position. I actually have Daniel Thomas in one of my leagues, and I think it's going to take him a little bit. He's kind of coming into his own, but I have to go with Felix Jones on this one. I know, again, you said, Pete, we may be looking at, you know, a low-scoring game, but Felix Jones is the guy there in Dallas, you know, regardless, especially Miles Austin out. And he's just the one. He's an elite back or right on the verge of being an elite back. And I think he is the top choice in that situation, in my opinion.
All right. Another part of the question, quarterback backup, starting Fitzpatrick, should I dump Freeman for either Cam Newton or Hasselbeck?
Wow, we're just talking about like my situation here. I mean, I guess this is by
from Higgins and Hopkinton.
Higgins. All right. Well, I just dished away Cam Newton. You really can't hold it against him. What happened last week in the monsoon? It is what it is. Say it again. It is what it is. Yep, it's going to come out a lot.
It's always it is.
So he's got Fitzpatrick, and the question was, would he either dump Cam Newton? And what was the other one?
Should I dump Freeman or either should I dump Freeman for either Cam Newton or Hasselbeck?
I mean, if you can get your hand, I'm not a huge Josh Freeman fan. I like Tampa Bay, but I just think, are you going to win a championship with Josh Freeman as your quarterback? Again, I might be, you know, a little little biased, but I believe Cam Newton's the real deal. I think, you know, he is going to get it done. I mean, Fitzpatrick, they're going to roll all year, barring an injury. He's the guy to roll with. You know, if you can get your hands on Cam Newton, you know, for a decent price, I would definitely try to get him for someone like Freeman.
Yeah. And Higgins says, I'm changing defenses each week for the best matchup. What do you recommend this week? Suggestions: Eagles playing the 49ers, Texans playing Pittsburgh, Bucks playing Indy, Falcons playing Seattle, Vikings playing KC. Can I throw my, after you do your thing?
How about you start?
I can say two of the most obvious ones. I don't even have to be fantasy football to tell you. Okay? I think the Falcons against Seattle and the Bucks playing Indy is right up there because Indy has quarterback problems this week. In fact, I probably put the Bucks first on defense playing Indy with Collins is hurt.
Yep.
And the Falcons would be my second choice. Seattle sucks.
I agree.
Those would be my first two. I can say that right now.
Were the Vikings thrown in there?
Vikings are playing Kansas City. That's a dangerous game.
You think?
Yes. A dangerous game for the Vikings because Kansas City's due. I'm telling you, Kansas City will be one of my picks this week. They're an underdog at home. I think they're going to win. Now, that could be, you know, 13-10 that game.
Right. And again, I mean, Kansas City, you just don't know what team is going to show up.
Donovan McNabb and Minnesota, all they do is they jump out to 13 and 14 point leads and 17, 20 point leads and lose.
Right. I think I'm with you on this one. I just can't, and you almost feel bad for, you know, in Indy. Indy's a team that we've always, you know, we've hated. We like to see them lose and struggle, but you got to kind of feel for them a little bit. I do not, but
I'm just going back up a quarterback. Tampa's, that's the Monday night game. It's right in Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. And, I got to love the Bucs in that situation there. I think that's a bad spot for Indy.
Yep. Ship it.
Yep. Ship it, as we say in the poker world.
They were giving me static about the whole poker thing. We should put a little game together after the show, Pete.
Oh, no problem.
They don't even know what hit him.
No problem.
Let's do it.
Pete and Mike, so I just made a trade today. I'm wondering what you think of it. I'm currently leading my, this is from Joshua, this is our attorney, our counselor, our litigator from Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. He has a whole bunch of letters and names after his name. It's a big firm. So I just made a trade today, and I'm wondering what you think of it. I'm currently leading my 18 league at 3-0. And every game has been a blowout. I had Brady at quarterback, Gronk at tight end, which has been huge thus far. I was feeling a little risky today and made a trade offer of Vincent Jackson, wide receiver from San Diego, and Hightower, the running back from the Redskins, for Welker and Grant, Green Bay's running back. Now, I know I'm putting a lot of eggs in one basket with Brady, Welker, and Gronk, but it just seems too good to pass up. The trade leaves me little thin at running back with Ray Rice and Ryan Matthews having to carry the full load if Grant does nothing. He had a pretty decent game last week but got dinged. Thoughts on this being a good trade? I'm in pretty good shape at wide receiver after this trade with Welker, Dwayne Bowe, Colston, and Lance Moore carrying the bulk of the load.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. He is dishing V-Jax and Hightower, and he's getting Welker and Grant. Am I correct?
Yes.
I mean, just with the way that Wes Welker has been performing thus far, and you know, showing no signs of slowing down.
And he'll have a big game again this week against that pathetic defense the Raiders have. Trust me.
How could you not want to have him on your squad? But you know, there's some question with Ryan Grant. You know, one of my starts of the week is actually Starks. I just think he's going to be, you know, up and coming. I think he's going to be that guy in that Green Bay offense that just gets it done. I'm actually just completely dumbfounded with this Philadelphia Eagles situation. I've drafted them. I have McCoy. I traded away DeSean Jackson in that Chris Johnson trade. So I'm in favor of this trade. It's a bad situation. What team shows up this week? You know, with Michael Vick, obviously, he got the nod. He's good to go. But without him there, you know, they're a scary team to start at any position. You know, you have Kafka coming in. There was talks about Vince Young. But if somehow Vince Young winds up behind center,
good luck.
You're better off drafting, you know, Paul Blake from the Fighting Armadillos, because
all it takes is a few boos and Vince will have a nervous breakdown, and that'll be that.
And it's a tough situation. So just to answer the question, I do that trade. I you hate to lose Hightower, and that's actually who I traded away, Hightower and D-Jax, but, and I lost because of it anyway, but It's a good trade. I believe it. Grant's going to get his touches. Welker is without a doubt worth having. May even be, you know, a couple notches above DeSean Jackson, especially with that question in Philadelphia. I think it's a good trade.
Gene in Daytona says, hi, Pete and Kevin. Pete, you won the argument again. The discussion between Andy, Paul, and you was the best part of the whole Patriots Playbook show today. That was a classic. You guys brought out the best in each other. Loved it, Gene in Daytona. You know I love those guys, and I certainly respect their opinion. They're all great writers, and we just disagree from time to time. And I just don't know how you can have a real semblance of what any team is going to be just yet. We know the Patriots offense is going to be awesome. I think that's safe to say. I'm just not ready to judge any team's defense yet after 3 weeks. Mike in Champaign, Illinois. Mikey says, Brandon Lloyd or Denarius Moore as a number three wide receiver?
Number three. This is another guy that I wish I could somehow have him on my team, and Denarius Moore, you know, showing signs of life, you know, rushing touchdown last week. I don't like starting anybody against our beloved Patriots, but, you know, in the fantasy football world, sometimes you've got to
separate
bullet.
Your heart and your head.
It's tough sometimes.
I know it's tough.
You know, it is what it is. Again.
But there's no reason why you can't. You know, you can't do that.
That's the play.
Because against this Patriot defense, you can rack up a bunch of net yardage for fantasy and still lose by three touchdowns. That's the beauty of the Patriots.
Right. And it's going to be a very long day for the Denver Broncos this weekend. The Green Bay offense, although they've, you know, on paper, they've struggled against against the pass, I wouldn't want to take that risk with Brandon Lloyd. You know, the guy really hasn't shown up just yet. And, you know, if you get a chance to, you know, get a wide receiver, especially a third wide receiver that you know is going to partake in a shootout this weekend, I think you got to give him the nod.
And let's see. This is from Chad. Says, hello, Pete and Mike. I have one roster space left. Romo, Tate, the running back, Thomas, the running back, Hasselbeck, or FAs. I don't know who to pick up.
Those are the four guys that are available?
Yeah, Romo, Tate, Thomas, Hasselbeck.
Well, I mean, obviously, I wish we knew his situation. You know, who's his starting quarterback? Mm-hmm. You know, we have to look at it that way. But I think Ben Tate could be in for a hit here soon. Arian Foster, he's coming around, and he's the featured back there. The kid has shown obviously big playability, but mm-hmm. at this stage right now, you can't really push aside Romo, just in case. Again, I don't know.
I mean, it's still a wild card to me. I mean, I know it's a wild card because so one hit and he's done.
Foster or Romo?
Huh?
We're talking about who? Are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about Romo. I mean, as far as you know, he's still in pretty rough shape. I mean, don't forget they didn't have any touchdowns on Monday night. So six field goals Dallas had.
Yeah. No. I guess I'm 50-50 on it. You got to hold on to Thomas. I guess Hasselbeck is even expendable. Also, you know that offense. You know, but. It's coming down between Romo. I guess you hold on for Tate for another few weeks. You got to see what takes shape with that. If Foster, if he gets back to his old self, you know, there's just not enough, you know, balls to hand off. It's as simple as that, and he's gonna take on the load. So, yeah, I guess we could go with Romo on that one, Pete. I'll agree with you.
All right, it's the fantasy football lowdown without Brian Lowe, who's off for Rosh Hashanah, and my buddy Mike Cambry is in today, a.k.a. Poker Mike, answering your questions. Email us, webradio@patriots.com. Call us on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. And you can Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Happy to answer all your questions, and we'll come right back with more fantasy football talk until 5. And then it's all Patriot Raiders, and I will have to denounce three quarters of what was said on the earlier shows today. As I have already proven by logic when it comes to this football team, who are you going to trust? Who are you going to trust? Someone who has picked this team, right or wrong, right about 85 to 88% of the time, or people who judge them after three games. I have looked at the matchups. I have seen it, and I have seen the light, and I'll tell you, I've said it yesterday, I'm going to say it again, the Raiders are not going to win this game, and it's not even going to be close. Trust me, guys. We'll be back with more on Patriots.com and the Pete Shepard Show right after this.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown! Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revise.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Oh, yeah.
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
I live for this!
A big day calls with a big and toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! !!!! Smiley face. Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donut stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long. I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
You're listening to the Patriots Postgame Show with Adam...
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
And welcome back, Freakazoids of Patriots.com. How you doing? Pete Shepherd in until 6 o'clock tonight here on the Pete Shepherd Show. This is the fantasy football lowdown without Brian Lowe, off celebrating the or observing the Jewish holiday. And so joining me is my buddy Mike Cambria, who's a...
You don't have to be Jewish to like Feldman's, but it helps.
And he's our fantasy football go-to guy today. He is a big-time fantasy football guy, and he's here answering all your questions, and I'm here to make fun of all the questions. But no, I'm not. No. I'm adding my 2 cents of when I can think about reality football relating to fantasy football. It does happen occasionally. Most times for me on defense, I can pick out some defenses this week that I would go with if you have them. Certainly, to me, Atlanta against Seattle. I think you have to go there. I mean, Seattle's just an awful offense, even though they found a way to win last week against Arizona. I think you have to go the Philadelphia-San Francisco game. I don't know why that game scares me. You would think Philadelphia is going to come up. I don't know why. Something about the Eagles that just doesn't sit right with me. It's all right. The dream team crap, yep, and all that stuff. But I'm just trying to look at like what could be low-scoring games, like Cleveland-Tennessee. I think that could be a low-scoring game. Yep. And Buffalo, Cincinnati. Believe it or not, I think that might be a lower scoring game because I'm not sold on the Bills putting up all these points. I think you have to look at the situations that had happened. I'm just saying.
Hey, you're entitled to your opinion.
The Minnesota, Kansas City, to me, both. I think that's going to be low scoring. Except both teams turn the ball over so much sometimes. I mean, that sometimes those can lead to highest scoring. But just looking at it on paper. But right. Back to your. Messages here. Email us, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. You can Facebook me, Pete Shepherd, PETESHEPPARD. Chris says, who should I stat this week out of Joe Flacco, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Matt Stafford, and why?
That's another good question, Pete. I mean, obvious reasons with Flacco. I mean, you have to admire what he did last week. You know, he was huge for, you know, the fantasy owners that, you know, that started him. But, you know, what does he do this week?
Obviously, tough one this week.
It's a tough
Very
one.
Tough
you
one.
You know, I mean, the
that's a low scoring. That's a low scoring game against the Jets. Last year was opening week one, when I think it was 16-13. I just don't, the Jets are going to be pissed off because they played like crap on Sunday. You got to figure. That game has got to be, that game to me has, again, 13-10, 16-13 written all over it.
I agree. I'm actually.
Could be wrong, but I'm just looking at it the way, realistically, that could, you talk about two defenses if you have them. If you have either one of those, that would probably be my first choice.
Absolutely. So, I mean, just, obviously a guy like Ray Rice and, you know, there's obviously talk about, you know, Bolden having a tough way of it this weekend, but, you know, Flacco, he could be in for a tough day. If you have other options, you got to take him, you know. So now you're looking at Fitzpatrick, which we kind of touched upon earlier. You know, you can't look past Stafford, you know, especially against, we just talked about this Dallas team that you just don't know what they're going to bring. You know, I hate to say that, you know, it's as you said before, I got tied up. I believe it's going to be a high-scoring game in Cincinnati.
Looking at these three, I agree. I would probably have to go with Ryan Fitzpatrick here myself,
so too,
because
people.
Matt Stafford, this is going to be their first real test going into a real hostile environment in Dallas. And I don't know what, I don't really know, I still don't know what to expect from Detroit under this kind of pressure. Because now it's going to start to build a little bit. Like I said, I've seen teams in this situation before. I bring back Denver up all the time from 09. They start off 6-0 and don't make the playoffs. Look real good early. You know, Stafford goes in and lights it up against Dallas on the road. Then you might have something there. But I think right now, I think you have to go with Ryan Fitzpatrick in this spot.
Yep.
I think you have to.
I agree.
That's the best matchup you can see out there. And I'm only saying it's going to be low scoring because not that Buffalo can't score points. It's that Cincinnati, you don't know if they're going to be stoned this week or the parole officers or what the hell's going to happen. Any drug bust this week yet, Kev? No drug bust in Cincinnati.
Then that's when they smoke it.
Exactly.
What a team.
So I'm with you. I think you do have to. I think that's, to me, I won't say it's a no-brainer, only because you just don't know Detroit going into Dallas. That's a tough spot for them.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. You may, you know, Monday may roll around, and, you know, Stafford could be, you know, a top 3 to 5 quarterback for over the weekend, and you're like, oh, I guess I made that wrong decision. But on paper ahead of time, like you just said, I think we made the right decision in Fitzpatrick.
Pete, Patriots defense or Lions defense? Mike, yeah.
That's the question?
Yeah.
I mean, you hate to talk negatively about.
To me, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. You know, Lions defense for the Romo factor alone.
Yep. You know, just too many questions there with that Dallas team. You know, they're going to give up. They're going to definitely give up some rushing yards. You know, to Jones, but you know, again, who are they throwing the ball to? You know, especially if for some reason, Dez Bryant. You know, even if he's limited. You know, there's just they're not going to be able to throw the ball. You know, they take care of Witten, and then you know you're in a tight spot. So, yep, no brainer.
It's interesting because he goes on to say, also, I took Mike Williams, the wide receiver from Tampa, off free agency and was going to start him over Dez Bryant this week. What are your thoughts? After, I also want to comment when you said Patriots don't have the worst defense. I believe they have one of the worst defenses so far this season and can turn things around since we have 13 weeks left in Bill We Trust. Oh, well, of course. I mean, statistically, right now, they're at the bottom of the pile. I'm saying it's week three. Statistically, from a points allowed standpoint, they're like in the middle of the pack at 26.3. So you want to go by net yards or you want to go by points allowed? I'm a points allowed type of guy. I don't get too carried away with net yards, as most of you know. But getting back to your other question, as far as the fantasy football stuff, is Mike Williams from Tampa Bay off free agency and was going to start him over Dez Bryant this week. Are your thoughts?
I don't think you can do it if Bryant is 100 or even close to 100%. You have to go with the better option, and in this case, it would be Dez Bryant. You know, not that Mike Williams, you know, he's the go-to guy there in Tampa Bay. You know, actually a pretty good matchup. You know, prime time, Monday night, at home against, you know, a confused Indianapolis team, if you will. It wouldn't be the end of the world if you had to start Mike Williams. You know, he hasn't really been a major contributor. You know, he scored in week one. He hasn't had more than 5 catches, and I think his highest yardage was right around 50. But in a pinch, you could start him, but you got to roll with Dez in that spot.
You can email us, webradio@patriots.com, and Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETSHEPPARD. It is the Fantasy Football Lowdown minus Brian Lowe. My buddy Mike Cambria is here today, a.k.a. Yep. Poker Mike, answering all your fantasy football questions. He is one of the best around. Oh. Trust me. One of the best around.
That's nice of you to say, Pete.
Believe me. He knows his you know what. So, you know, call in or ask Mike what your thoughts are. We miss Brian, but Mike is doing a great job today filling in. I think from an offensive standpoint, let's talk offense, fantasy football for a second here. Tough call again this week if you have Michael Vick. I think it's dangerous situation here again.
You got to start him. We do our homework. You know, we listen to, you know, the information and everybody's, you know, low down on the situation. If he is good to go, unless you were blessed to have, you know, 2 top shelf quarterbacks on your team, you don't have a choice. You know, they're saying that he's healthy. He's just so dangerous, you know, and the team is so dangerous, and every week he just has the potential, especially in a good matchup. You can't stray away from the guy until he just, unfortunately, you know, gets hurt and maybe misses some time. But, you know, if he's a go, you gotta rock and roll with Vic.
I think another interesting matchup, but could be an interesting game. I think it could be some points in this one from an offensive standpoint on both sides. I think San Diego hosting Miami, I think there could be some points in that game. Again, people are going to get caught up, hopefully, and be like, well, they didn't score more than 20 against Kansas City. So, obviously, it's just not that way. Some fantasy football people get caught up in those numbers as well. It's a whole new week, a different team. I think this is going to be, this game going to be close to 50 points in this game as far as the total.
I agree. I'm actually super, super high on, you know, all of the Chargers this week. You know, very, very frustrating for those of us that had Phillip Rivers in our fantasy lineups.
Now, here's what I'm saying. Like last week, people who had a lot of the Chargers on their fantasy football probably might have overreacted because Kansas City's bad start.
Oh, yeah.
Thinking they gave up 42 points, over 40 points twice. So, oh, it's automatically going to happen. But as I always try to tell everybody, the NFL does not work that way.
Yep.
If, as soon as you think you've got a trend on some team, they're going to kick you in the nuts, you know, and bring you right back down to earth.
So right on.
To be blunt.
They bounce back. You know, that San Diego offense, obviously looking a little bit different, you know, without Antonio Gates, you know, that big play guy that, you know, they look to. Just not having him there makes a difference, you know. Can't complain with Vincent Jackson. Both the running backs, I mean, it was just great to see Ryan Matthews finally, you know, really come into his own last week. Mm-hmm. You know, and even on the flip side, you know, San Diego's got a pretty solid defense, but, you know, I like Miami. You know, like I said, I have Daniel Thomas in one of my leagues. You know, can't sleep on Brandon Marshall, you know, and even throw Henny in the mix, and, you know, I couldn't agree with you more. I think we're looking at a lot of points.
And the other factor in this game I think you have to be concerned about, and I talked about this before the season even started, and Kevin knows this, but I think Tony Sperano's ass is on the line in this game. And if they don't win, he might be gone a week from now. That'll be 0-4. I mean, that's a horrible loss last week. And I thought for sure, I mean, even though they covered on my picks.
I like crap.
But they start 0-4, and there's a good chance, I think they have the Jets after this game. I think they have the Jets next week. That could be 0-5. And I just don't see it. Stop it.
Please.
I think Tony Soprano's butt is on the line. So Miami might be playing their butts off for him in this game. Or they might, or it could be the other way. Maybe they quit on him, but I don't see that. I think they're going to play their asses off in this game. And there'll be a lot of points.
It's crunch time. I mean, mm-hmm. whether it's fantasy.
But you have to factor that into fantasy number. You do.
You do. No, without a doubt. You know, they it's time to step it up. You know, I was, you know, kind of thinking about it earlier, the situation that a lot of teams are in. You know, there's a long way to go here. But, you know, if you're 0-3 staring 0-4 in the face, you know, you're in some tough shape here. You know, obviously 3-0, you're feeling great. You know, 2-1, you're feeling good about the season. If you're where I'm sitting and I'm 1-2, you know, it's not mm-hmm. a must win week, but.
How many weeks do you guys play? What, 15?
Yeah,
16?
I think it's 15.
Yeah.
15 or so, 14 or 15.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it happens to be.
The playoffs don't count in fantasy, so it's going to end before.
Correct.
So it starts, you can start the playoffs, what, in week 14?
Yeah.
Week 14?
14.
Whatever
15,
it is, yeah.
And I'll 14. I'll tell you something. It's actually the most frustrating aspect in any fantasy football, you know, participant would tell you the same thing. You go through the whole year, you do your best to get your best lineup in there, and then the end of the year comes along, and it happened to me last year. You know, the last couple of weeks in the season, I had guys that just really weren't playing. You know, mm-hmm. I had to go to my bench. I can't even recall the exact situation, but, you know, it is a long season, and, you know, we're coming into week 4, the bye week's looming now. You know, here they come, and you need to prepare for it,
mm-hmm.
but you know, this is a big week for a lot of fantasy players, myself included, you know, to you know, either just stay away from, you know, 0-4 or, you know, and if you wind up in that spot, it's time to make some moves. And again, I'm in that spot too. So long way to go, though.
Yeah, I mean, another interesting game for me is Green Bay and Denver. I mean, I think there'd be some point, and again, it's the Kyle Orton factor. I'm a big Kyle Orton guy. But this is one of those games I think might be a tough spot for him. Not that he can't put up a few points, but this is one of those times where the spread I think is right on.
I was just going to ask you, what is it?
It's 12.5, and I think Green Bay wins this by a couple of touchdowns. I think it's just something about this Denver team that doesn't do it for me. I mean, they show sparks here and there, but I mean, again, could be another fairly high scoring game here, Green Bay and Denver. But I just think. It's a comfortable win for the Packers this week.
I agree.
And I'm not big to jump on double-digit spreads early, but this is another one of those where I think Green Bay, you know, has a comfortable win. And if you have those fantasy players on your team, that should be a pretty good day for them.
Yeah. I mean, what can you really expect from this Denver team playing at Lambeau? You know, mm-hmm. kind of, you know, we're looking at, you know, 1-2. So it's just, we talked about the wide receiving core there earlier. You know, you kind of have to, you know, just kind of throw in the towel, you know, if you're starting those guys. I mean, you're hoping Brandon Lloyd comes around. I mean, Brian and I in the weeks past, we've talked about Decker. You know, he's got some upside, you know, but the running back situation there in Denver is a little up in the air with Moreno. And I think you're right. I mean, I already filled my pools out, Pete, and
yeah.
Green Bay got the check mark for me.
Yeah, well, they're going to get it for me, too, when I do my picks at the end of the show. By the way, a remarkable, astounding 12-4 last week, Big Kev.
Wow.
And 3-0 on my Monster Meat Miraculous picks.
Who's better than you, Pete?
No, there's a lot of people, but... You know, finally, a guaranteed over 70%, and you got it. I think it was 76%, right? 12-4 is like 76%. And we're going to look to go a perfect 100% this week when I make my picks. It's some interesting game. Another interesting game, I think, one that maybe we haven't talked about as well. Tough one. Washington and St. Louis as far as fantasy numbers go because, you know, the Steven Jackson factor,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Bradford. I mean, Washington, I'm always wary of the Monday night team going on the road the following week.
Yeah, you said that.
Always wary of that.
Yeah, I actually have Washington, you know, triple checked as far as, you know, the fantasy value goes of their players. I have Santana Moss, so I mean he's a must start for me.
Mm-hmm. Nice game on Monday he had against the Cowboys.
Yeah, he didn't come through enough for me. Unfortunately.
Well,
he did.
Hightower screwed you, didn't you?
Oh my God!
Hightower. Every time Hightower touched the ball, you were screaming.
I'm dealing from the table and I'm yelling. They're like, "Oh my God, is he all right?" I'm like, "Don't throw it to Hightower." And there he is, 1 yard out. He catches the touchdown and I lose. I mean, come on.
Oh man,
what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
But no, it's a big week for the Washington. Offense here. Love Rex Grossman. I think he's gonna, you know, he's hitting on all cylinders.
Well, you don't hear that often. Love Rex Grossman.
Hey,
but he's been impressive. I got to say, I've never been a big Grossman guy, even with days with the Bears. He seems very comfortable. And it was a tough loss for them the other night.
It was. Mark it down though. Yep, I'm telling you right there. Mm-hmm. You know, Hightower. He's gonna do what he has to do to get it done. But I believe, you know, across the board, throwing Santana Moss in. I think they have a big game that night. And in St. Louis, you don't know. Steven Jackson, you know, mm-hmm. I think he's ready to roll. He's cleared to play. You know, kind of
I think it's a bad spot for the Redskins in this game. I like saying, I mean, again, I don't know about fantasy football numbers. Reality, you know, I like the Rams in this spot here.
Yeah, at home.
For the same reason why, and even though I was so dumb last, one of the picks I lost last week was stupid because I should have realized Tampa Bay at home against Atlanta, and I didn't analyze it enough and realize I'm very against the Sunday night and Monday night teams going on the road the following week. I think there's usually a letdown. Atlanta certainly had one against Tampa Bay.
Ugh.
And, you know, let's talk about the Buccaneers. They are resilient, to say the least. Let's put it that way. I mean, they don't appear to me to have awesome fantasy numbers, but defensively, I mean, they're not bad. But how about on offense with Tampa Bay, some of the they're kind of one of those sleeper teams.
They really are. I mean, there's no way to
they can sneak up on your fantasy football number.
They really do. I mean, we touched upon Josh Freeman. I mean, he's using his legs. He's a rushing quarterback. In my league, actually, you know, we get bonuses, if you will, for, you know, quarterbacks rushing touchdowns and mm-hmm. and so forth. So I mean, he's valuable there. You know, a guy like, you know, LeGarrette Blount. I mean, he is starting to come into his own, but you know they are. It's a young team. They, you know, they have what it takes. I believe. You know, we talked about Mike Williams, and it's. Do you want to have, you know, the entire Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense as your fantasy squad? Probably not. But you know, as a number two running back, LeGarrette Blount gets it done. Mike Williams, a two or a three, and obviously in a pinch or a bye week replacement if you need Josh Freeman. They'll get it done for you in a good defense, like you said.
Another interesting game, too, and it's, believe it or not, the hour's almost up, but it's gone flown by. I think Pittsburgh at Houston is an intriguing game, and the Steelers last week were so disappointing. They're so lucky that Polamalu returned that fumble for a touchdown, and that could have been a completely different game. Roethlisberger, so far, not very impressive with a lot of, from a fantasy football standpoint, or in general. Right. The Steelers, you know, obviously losing badly in the first week, but this is another tough call. If you have, like, a Roethlisberger, and I know, Roethlisberger, I assume, still is one of the top six quarterbacks that people draft in the league.
He is, and he's actually getting a lot of talk this week, you know, just because of this matchup. You know, you got Pittsburgh's defense, but you know we saw what Baltimore did to them in week one. So I mean, points with two offenses like this, you know, I believe it's going to be a high-scoring game. We can get into that in a second. But very high on Roethlisberger this week. Another guy, you know, look at Mendenhall. I mean, God, I wasn't going to spend $10 on him in my auction draft just because you just don't know. And he's made that decision seem, you know, pretty good, actually. But I think this is the week these guys come into their own. You know, probably a pretty big week out of Mike Wallace. You know, I don't love Mendenhall this week, but I think he'll be up around 100 in a touchdown. And I think if the matchup isn't right, I think maybe you can throw Big Ben into that starting spot, and I think you'll be pleased with the results.
And one more thing before we say goodbye to Mike Cambry, who's done a fantastic job today. One more game to talk about from a fantasy football standpoint, I think has the potential to be a little more interesting than people may think, is New Orleans at Jacksonville. As far as we all know the numbers that New Orleans is capable of putting up. This might be a tough spot. As badly as Jacksonville has played, and they got issues at quarterback too, with Gabbard, all that stuff. But this might end up being a tough spot for New Orleans. I still think they win the game, but interesting from a fantasy football numbers perspective.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, this is not going to be, I agree, not going to be a
looks on paper, LeBreeze is going to throw up all these numbers again, but I don't think so.
You know, it's a tough situation for the Jaguars, obviously dealing with their quarterback situation. You can't take away from, you know, from Maurice Jones-Drew. I mean, he showed it last week. You know, kind of a tough team here. Playing at home, you know, you'd like to think that, you know, just based upon, you know, what we've seen and, you know, kind of how they operate, that, you know, New Orleans, you know, like we said, Breeze is thrown for 400 yards, and, you know, both those, you know, you got Mark Ingram. Well, I'll get into Darren Sproles in a second. And Darren Sproles and throwing those wide receivers, they're going to have an absolute monster game. It might not be the case. I think it might be a little bit closer than you think. From a fantasy standpoint, you know, have to roll with Breeze. I think Darren Sproles has just been a huge surprise, you know, for that team right there.
Yeah, I've always loved his game. Anyway.
I mean, he's just stepped it up. You know, you have to give – I think Ingram is going to get it
tough.
Done. And this could be the week he showed some life this past week, but I think Sproles is he's the perfect guy for that spot. They get Colson back this week. I think that's kind of what
that's
they were
big.
Talking about, but the word right now out of that camp is probably around 50 snaps for Colson. You know, and he's still going to be limited. So you got Meacham and Henderson. I've got Jimmy Graham in both of my leagues, that tight end. I couldn't be happier with that tight end situation.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some points scored. Is it going to be a blowout? I don't think so. But, you know, you stop Maurice Jones-Drew. A guy like Mike Thomas, he could have a decent game, but there's not really much else over there. But, you know, we'll take New Orleans on the fantasy side of that matchup.
All right, Mikey. Well, fantastic job today, my friend.
Oh,
very
goodness.
Good job filling in for Brian Lowe.
I hope.
And the Fantasy Football Lowdown. Mike Cambry doing a great job. And Pete Shepard, a round of applause.
My man.
From everybody.
I have to just tell you, it's been an absolute privilege and an honor to sit here.
Just
next
deal
to
me
today.
Aces and kings, all right?
You know, and that's what,
don't give me
hey,
this
you know
crap.
What? I
don't
figured,
suck up
I,
to me. Just
I
deal me aces and kings.
I figured if I can get some brownie points here, you never know what could happen, but we'll see what
and
we
Mike
can do.
And Mike deals with all
you.
The charity events. He's with Helping Hands Poker, our buddy Craig Bradford, and he deals, you know, in Dedham and Foxborough, and a big portion of it goes to charity, and we have a great time on Monday and Wednesdays and Thursdays, and I'll be announcing the charity events on the show, but it's a professional staff. It's great. It's run just like a real poker room. Rules are followed. It's good stuff. But Mike is also a great fantasy football guy, great sports fan, and appreciate you coming in, my friend.
Anytime,
great job. Great
anytime,
job today.
Pete.
Great
right.
job today.
Go Pats. We'll
All
talk
right.
to you.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, my friend. Right. Call in next week. And Brian, I'm sure we'll be back, and we'll love to hear from you. Again, we're doing it live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And, of course, email me, Pete Shepard, at Facebook, PETSHEPPARD. When we come back, get right into the Patriots and the Raiders. I will go over some more points about what I think is going to happen in the game. I think most of you know how I feel about it. It may be different from a lot of other people, but look, I trust my own opinion on this team. I've been right a lot, especially in situations like this, when I hear blanket statements about scoring too much and the defense sucks and all this stuff after 3 weeks of football. You know, it's just too short of sampling. I know what I know. And I know what I know about the Raiders, and I know what I've seen from the Patriots. I know what they're capable of. I know what happens when they lose a game. For the most part, how strongly they bounce back. We'll get into all that stuff, your phone calls as well, part of the Pete Shepard Show until 6 p.m. right here on Patriots.com. We're back right after this.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
What will that be on?
That's it.
Go Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries, or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly to China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
Oh, I live for this!
A big day calls for the big and toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon. official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
That doesn't get the blood circulating, huh? That'll cure your Red Sox hangover. Just sing Hate the Jets with me, as always, at the top of the second hour of the show. How you doing? Pete Shepard here until 6 o'clock right here on Patriots.com. Once again, thanks to Mike Cambria. Did a great job filling in today for Brian Lowe in the Fantasy Football Lowdown. And again, let's reset here. We're broadcasting live from our Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And you can Facebook me at Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. I'll happy to read all your emails. Jacob from Michigan. Look, Pete, Tom cut his hair. I now have no doubt in my mind that the Super Bowl is in the bag. That being said, I like what I see of Stephen Ridley this past week. You see him slowly becoming a bigger part of the offense. Thanks, PPS. Most years I want to win the Super Bowl to rub it in the face of the other team's fans. This year I want to win it so I can rub it in the face of our own GD fans. G-damn fans. I hear you. As far as Ridley goes, I'm with you, Jacob. I just think it's going to be... whatever Bill sees in practice, you know, I think it's going to be surprising. I think there's some weeks he'll have more yards than others. I think there's some weeks that Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, the law firm will have more. And I think there's other weeks that Danny Woodhead will have more. Depending on the situation of the game, how far along they go, whatever. I know what, you know, if they're up by three touchdowns in the third quarter, if it's a close game in the fourth quarter, I think it's all going to be dictated by that. The ebbs and flow of the game. Quickly on the injury report. In case you haven't heard, today, kind of frustrating, Albert Haynesworth, who was limited yesterday, did not practice today. Aaron Hernandez did not practice today. Sebastian Vollmer did not practice today. And Mike Wright did not practice today. The rest of these guys, all limited. Kyle Arrington, Lee Bodden, Patrick Chung, Rozay Dowling, Sean Ellis, Gary Guyton, Logan Mankins. The fact that he was limited was good because he didn't practice yesterday because of illness. Gerard Mayo, Zoltan Mesko, Taylor Price, Ryan Wendell. And again, for the Raiders, we didn't practice Ricky Brown, linebacker Michael Huff. That's a limited participation today. Today he did not practice, by the way. And also, Chris Johnson did not practice again today. That's their starting cornerback, who stinks anyway, but... Lewis Murphy, wide receiver, Marcel Reese, running back, and Matt Shaughnessy. And so there it is for you. Back to the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Again, after watching the Raider-Jet game last week, watching the Raiders against Denver for the most part, watching them against Buffalo, I'll give my score at the end of the game, at the end of the show. But I'm just telling you right now, I see the Patriots putting up their biggest point total of the year. It'll be 40 plus, and I see them giving up less than 27. That's all I'm going to tell you. And then I'll do my scores at the end of the show. Back to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Here's Tyrone in Delaware. You're up next here on the Pete Shepard Show. Hi, Tyrone.
Yeah, how you doing, sir?
What's up?
Yeah,
I'm a regular caller. This first time calling your show.
Hey, welcome aboard. Welcome aboard. Thanks.
Thank you very much, sir. Doing a fine job.
Mm-hmm.
I usually call them PFW guys.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't know. Whenever I call and I, because my thing about it is with this, you know, we getting beaten all the time is because I think, man, because Belichick is making a lot of personal bad decisions. I know that, you know, I think like PFW guys, they don't really like to hear it. But, you know, I like this team a lot. I love this team.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking, man, you know, this, you know, letting Gerard Page go, Sean Ellis, paying Sean Ellis too much money. We always get these retreads or these guys over the hill. And then when we lose it, everybody want to know why it is. We just don't go after the studs. And we can't win like that. Julia Edelman, another example. Changing a quarterback to wide receiver. He's not doing nothing. I mean, we need playmakers.
Julian's doing something. Julian's doing something on special teams. That's what you're talking about. You can't. Let's be fair for one second. You're talking about Julian Edelman, Tyrone. You're talking about number five wide receiver and a special teams guy. I mean, if you want to talk about some other issues, Julian Edelman is not an issue with this team. He's a nice player. I mean, for a seventh round pick, that's a steal. What they got in him. That's a steal for a seventh round pick.
I understand that, sir. But what I'm saying is, okay, what happened to Green Bay last year? They had 17, they had 15 people on IR.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't miss a beat. They had a lot of wide receivers down, and they got like the same level of talent. And like I said, we don't. The Saints and the Green Bay Packers, they could afford to throw four interceptions. We putting way too much pressure.
Whoa, hang on a second. Let me tell you something. If Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees threw four interceptions, I can almost promise you that would be the exact same fate as what happened to the Patriots. Now, they might make it close like the Patriots did and comfortable, I mean, and be right in it because they're both talented offensive teams, but you can't say that they'd win those games. I think that's kind of not being fair.
I'm not trying to bash everybody.
I'm with you on Green Bay and the injuries, lad. I understand, but you know, they had a really, you know, and to their credit, they had to win the last two games to make the playoffs, and they did, and they made the best of being the sixth seed. And
they turned it around.
And they did a great job in what they had to overcome. And I've seen the Patriots do that before too, and win Super Bowls without Seymour and Ty Law, and they've done that as well. No, I hear. I'm just saying it's week three right now, and all I'm saying is let's just see how it plays out. It's only the third week of the season.
I understand that, sir. But you don't think from 2007 on up. We didn't make, I don't think Belichick did a good job. See Brandon Tate, another example. You know what I'm saying? It's just over and over again, and that's why we're in a predicament. In order for us to win, we need better players. You know, I don't think this team right now, I don't think we're going to, you know, I'll be stunned if we make the playoffs. So I just don't see enough talent on this team. And I don't think I'm being unfair because I love this team, but Belichick just,
All I'm saying is for any team, I think 3 weeks in is not a big enough sample ever. And this is what happens. Honest. People get caught up with every single team after 3 weeks. And I've said, it'd be the same thing if you were in Buffalo and Detroit getting carried away. As I've said all week long, I've seen that act before. I keep bringing up the Broncos, went 6-0 a couple of years ago and missed the playoffs. I mean, that's not going to happen with this Patriot team. I mean, people are focusing. I understand it's frustrating. The Jets loss last year was awful. Considering what could have happened and how the Patriots should have been ahead in that game from the get-go and never looked back. But that wasn't the way it was. But at the end of the season last year, the way they were demolishing teams, there isn't anybody on the planet that thought the Jets were going to have a chance to win that game.
You know what? I wasn't confident last year, but let me tell you something real quick before I go.
Okay.
I want to make one more point.
Okay.
Okay. I remember in the game with the Bills, right?
Yep.
You want to know why they was doubling Gronkowski? And it was doubling Welker because they know he ain't got nobody on the outside. We don't have nobody on the outside to threaten nobody. So that's why, and that's what teams gonna start doing, especially the Jets. They're gonna lock up Welker, try to lock up them tight ends, and if we lock them tight ends up, Tyrone, they can't lock up everybody.
And I know Deion Branch struggled last week a little bit, but that's fine. If he struggles a little bit and Welker's going to go for 216 yards, then let Deion Branch get covered. That's fine. The Jets can't, or anybody else cannot cover all these weapons on this team. They just can't. And then somebody may get locked down. I mean, Gronkowski's not going to have great games every single week, but what he does is he draws attention. Welker draws attention. And I think it's much, I heard John Rook talking about it this week, and I disagree with him a little bit. He's like, well, you shut down Gronk and you shut down Welker, and that's all you have to do. I disagree. Because there's other weapons on this team, and so far nobody has been able to come close to stopping the Patriot offense except the Patriots with four interceptions.
Okay, let me give you one point.
Okay.
The Bills did not touch Tom Brady, right? They did not touch him all game. And my philosophy is if Tom Brady's in the pocket and he's sticking upright, we win that game, and we still lost.
There were four turnovers, Tyrone, that led to 24 points. One was a pick six, and four turnovers on offense that led to 24 points.
I don't blame Tom Brady for those interceptions.
Well, I blame him for one for sure. The Gronkowski one was a bad throw. He tried to force it in. The other two were deflected.
Because he don't have nobody on the outside, and that interception, we had two people. They had two guys on Gronkowski on that interception.
You can't be upset with the only way you can be upset with last week's offense is the fourth. I hear what you're saying about the outside. I don't entirely disagree with you but don't forget the first couple of games, Deion Branch did pretty well. I mean, just because he didn't have a good game last week does not mean he's not going to be a factor. The other factor is, which we're all waiting to see, and I think Tyrone will solve a lot of the problems here. If 85 wakes up and gets his head out of his butt, I think that solves a lot of problems, and I'm hoping that this week that that's the case.
He is who he is, but you know he's not. I think he's done. I think his career is done. And that's why I keep on saying we either getting guys too old, and we always do this, or it don't work.
But wait a second. If Ocho Cinco had caught that touchdown pass last week, which was right into his arms, he would have had like four catches and 60 yards after that. I mean, during that time, but he didn't. But I mean, would you have said he was done then? He made a nice catch in the first. I mean, he's underachieved. Don't get me wrong. And to me, against this defense this week, he's going to have to. This is where he has to shine. I think he will shine this week. This has got to be the defense.
Well, if we don't,
because the Raiders are terrible in their secondary and their linebacker. Raiders cannot cover the Patriots. They can't.
I understand that, but if we don't blow them out like we're supposed to, all I'm saying to you is that I understand what you're saying. I don't see the team as it is. We're not talented enough on the outside. We don't have no pass rush. We could have got Julius Peppers 2 years back. We had a chance. We didn't do it. B.J. Raji, he's a Boston College guy. That's a mistake. We messing around with Brandon Tate. He's the punt returner. Manningham was on the same team on NC State. We didn't pick him. All I'm saying is we won them three Super Bowls on them type of players. But these players now are more faster, more taller. They're almost basketball-like. We need to go after studs from now. We're going to look back on this. And we wasted one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
I think you're going to be surprised at how well this defense eventually will come together.
So.
It may not be. It's not going to be again. Thanks a lot, Terry. Appreciate it. Again, it's not. All it has to do is kind of be a mediocre defense. The days of great defenses are done. There aren't any left. I doubt there's going to be. You know, you talk about defensive struggle like Monday night against Dallas and, Dallas going up against Washington. Okay, that's a defensive struggle because you think those two defenses are great? Not even close. You know, you got to factor in the offenses in those kind of games. You know, it's just too small a sampling to paint this one-sided brush that the defense stinks. It's too small a sampling. You know, I'm giving it way more time. I know that it's got to be improved. Of course they have to improve. Lots of improvements need to be made. And I know people don't, I'm sorry, but damn it, they can overcome some bad defensive deficiencies. And I know people keep saying, well, you can't rely on the defense to make every big plays every week. Why not? Because for the most part, they do. There is a track record there for that. They do. You know? And I don't care if Jason Campbell passes for 300 yards. He's probably going to throw a couple of picks. in this game. And, you know, and again, like I said, the Patriots win 24, some score like that, and somebody is still going to say it's not good enough. Trust me. They're not good. No matter what happens, there's always going to be somebody that says it's not good enough because they didn't win 38-10. You know, I just think we are all way too spoiled. I don't think a lot of people look at the rest of the National Football League and see what other teams are going through with some of their deficiencies and some of their players. And it's all strictly pass or fail with the Patriots on defense. I mean, they're either okay or they suck. You know, you can't make that kind of assessment after week three. Because I do think it's just too long of a season. There's a long way to go. And I believe Bill Belichick will try to get the best. And I think McCourty and Bodden have got to play better, obviously. I think they will play better this week. I'm hoping that they do. I know we have to see, you know, some semblance here of a couple of games. But, look, just watching the Patriots, watching the Jets, Raider game this past week, and watching the Raiders, to me, they're a half a fraud team. I'm telling you, they're a half a fraud team. That game against Denver opening night was a joke. That was one of the worst football games I've ever played. The Buffalo game was a freaking joke. They blew a 21-point lead and horrible. And the Patriots did too, obviously. The Patriots look better doing it. But, you know, the Raiders had, you know, that was just disgraceful. You go back and look at some of the highlights of that game. And the Jets handed them that game last week, handed it to them. Cromartie kicking a stupid kickoff return, and Sanchez throwing a pick in the end zone. I mean, that game, I mean, it's not like, you know, Oakland came out and smoked them from start to finish. So, Patriots coming off a loss, a bad loss, going on the road, cross country, I don't care. They've gone across country. They have gone to hostile environments before after a loss, and they have kicked butt. I've seen it too many times in the past. Very rarely in the last 6 or 7 years has this team lost back-to-back games, like twice. And I don't see, this is a bad, bad spot for the Oakland Raiders. I'm sorry. It's a bad spot for them. They don't have the defense to come close to keeping up with the Patriots. And you can say what you want about the Patriots defense. You know what? I'll take them this week against the Oakland Raiders and Jason Campbell. Make them throw. I don't think McFadden's going to rush for 200 yards or 180 yards. And I know those of you who get caught up because you don't know any better because, well, if you destroyed the Jets, what's he going to do to the Patriots? And I keep saying the NFL does not work that way. I'll bring up the Chiefs again last week. Nobody thought the Chiefs would probably give San Diego a game. They gave them all they can handle after giving up 40 points in 2 weeks. So why the hell didn't San Diego score 40 points against Kansas City? Because that's not the way the league works. Time and time again, I think we just get all caught up, and a lot of us are spoiled with some of the numbers this team has put up over the years. And I'm not, and I just told you from time and time again, the days of the Ravens in 2000, the Bears in 85, Dallas of the 90s, and whatever really good defense you want to think of for the last 15 years, those days are done. This is a passing offensive league. So there's tons of teams that are going to give up a ton of net yardage every week because the offenses are just spectacular. It doesn't mean all the defenses suck because there's a lot of good teams out there that their net yardage average stinks on defense, which is why I don't put a lot of stock in it. And I'm asking you to do the same. Call me here on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Email me, webradio at patriots.com. And you can Facebook me as well, Pete Shepard, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. Gene says, "Hi, Pete. I believe the Pats defense will look a lot better this week with their quarterback on defense back, Patrick Chung. I also think Gerard Warren back in the lineup will help." I agree. "I could not understand why Bill let him go. What do you think?" Well, it was a money issue. Now, he's making a lot less money now than it was after week one. That's that part's easy, Gene. That was just financial. "How do you feel about the Pats bringing back rookie defensive end linebacker Silvestri to the practice squad? I thought he was impressive in preseason and one of the final cuts to get to the 53-man roster. Do you think the kid has a chance to become a regular? Patriots 31, Oakland 19, 4 field goals and a touchdown late when it doesn't matter." Okay. That's fair, Gene. I hear you. Well, I think the guy that might have a chance of making an impact before the season's out is A.J. Eads, the guy they got from Miami who was cut and then re-signed to the practice squad. I agree with you about Silvestri. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I can't witness practices every day, so I don't know. I do not know. So we'll just have to wait and see. Let me read some of my Facebook messages as well. Let's see. Michael says, can't believe Bills fans going on about Sunday's win. You would have thought they won the Super Bowl and went the season undefeated. Raiders going to feel the heat on Sunday, Brady and G-Force. You got it, Michael. I agree with you. And not only did the Patriots, the Bills fans think they won the Super Bowl, but obviously people in the press box who cover the Bills embarrassed themselves. And I'm sure there was a letter sent out this week by the commissioner to tell them to knock that crap off. I mean, that's just absurd. One guy says, Tony Pena for manager. Bob says, Michael, that was their Super Bowl. Nick says, nice comeback and win by the Bills last week, but the way the Bills players and fans are overreacting, you think that they haven't won a Super Bowl and haven't been relevant in about 20 years. Wait, he said. Stefan, what is the trade deadline in football, this week or next? I think Pats should kick the tires on Ronnie Brown. Trading deadline's what, after week five? I think it's after week five. I think it's a couple weeks before the trading deadline, right? Week five or six? I'll get the answer for you in a couple minutes. Week five or six is the trading deadline, I thought. Right around there.
What? See the message I just wrote to you?
Oh, okay. Oh, John Clayton from ESPN is going to join us in 5 minutes, so that's great. We'll get his take on all the NFL, Patriots and Raiders and all the NFL. That's great. So we'll look forward to that. So why don't we take a quick break then, and we'll come back and reset. 508-298-0398. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline. You can email me, webradio@patriots.com, and Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Let me read one more email before we take a quick break here. And, just read that one. All right, Kev, we'll take a quick break and then come back with the Pete Shepard Show. John Clayton from ESPN joining me in just a couple of minutes here on Patriots.com.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the Pats were driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL Mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89150 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon,
official wireless provider of the New England Patriots.
Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
And back here on Patriots.com, John Clayton from ESPN will join me in just a minute or so here. You can email me at webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. That's the number to call. And let's head to the Ace Ticket Hotline and check in with ESPN's John Clayton. Hi, John. Thanks for checking in to the Pete Shepherd Show. Appreciate it. How are you, sir?
Doing well. How about you?
Fantastic. Let me ask you right off the bat, before we get into the Patriots and the Raiders and some of the other NFL issues, I want to talk with you for a few minutes here. Are you surprised at how offensive the league, not offensive, but offensive the league has become, the trend that's been happening the last couple of years, and how far ahead offenses are over the defenses league-wide?
I'm surprised at the degree of it. I'm not surprised at the trend, because the trend's been evolving really since, well, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady started taking over, and then, of course, you add the 2004 quarterback class that has added, you know, more top quarterbacks. And so that's been the way the trend is. What I didn't fathom until I watched it is just where the offenses are in relationships to the defenses and how the strategies now can just wear out the defenses. And there's no better example than in New England, because if you really study what's going on with the Patriots offense, a lot of it goes to a lot of the, you know, Mike Leach, Texas Tech type of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, Wes Welker came from that system and pretty much runs the routes that he ran at Texas Tech. And part of the elements of that plays into why the numbers are so big this year. You know, when you're in that system, one of the things is tempo's a big thing and wearing a defense down to a point where they can't rush. And that's where you see the big numbers coming in, because, you know, if everything goes right for a Texas Tech type offense and a Tom Brady type of offense, by that third and fourth quarter, mixing in some no-huddle and moving, going up and down the field, the defenses are gassed, and that's part of it. And of course, when you have no training, well, you have training camp but no off season, and conditioning is going to be a big thing and tackling is going to be a big thing, you can understand why the offenses right now, particularly that have the quarterbacks that can use the no huddle, can just wear a defense out.
I try to tell people every year that I just never get too carried away with any team, really, even as much success as the Patriots have had, until around week 9 or 10, right around the Thanksgiving, because I've just seen the scenario play out too many times before with teams like Denver starting off 6-0. You know, the Bills and Lions right now are a nice story at 3-0, but we have to wait and see. But I'm just amazed why people so early, and I'm talking nationally and locally, go way over the top as far as defenses. My thing is, for me, the Patriots, Packers, New Orleans, and San Diego, if those four teams are playing each other, I don't care who they have on defense, there's going to be a lot of points scored in those games. So I don't understand why a lot of football people don't understand that. It's just the offenses are just spectacular right now.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. I mean, you look at the Patriots, I mean, it's like, okay, despite last week's game, I haven't changed my prediction. It's going to be the Patriots against the Packers. All right, so take a look at the Packers. They're giving up 359 yards a game passing. 359 yards a game passing. So, you know, when you have the games like this, and, you know, and that's why, you know, the old theory that you win with defense and you win with running the football is just out the door. I mean, there's just, it doesn't exist anymore. You may have a better chance this year because there's not a lot of real great passing teams totally in the AFC. Well, there may be a chance for a running team or two to slip in there, but, you know, this is a passing league, and because of that, when you have the great quarterbacks going against each other, you're not going to have 10-7 games. I mean, you're going to have 35-31 games, particularly now this early in the season, and you're right about the fact, more so this year, you better wait till week 8 or week 9 to figure things out, because the first 6 weeks, you're still suffering from a lot of the lockout symptoms.
I also think, I thought Bill Parcells a couple of weeks ago on NFL Countdown made a great point. It's something I've talked about on this show a lot, is, again, concerning the offenses, but these kids, when they get to Division I, they're spectacular, but I think it's starting at the junior high school level, running these, you know, five wide offenses. You see it all the time. I see some of the games on ESPN, the high school games, occasionally. I mean, my God, those kids don't look like high school kids. They don't look like high school formations. It's amazing. And by the time they get to the ones that make it to D1, they're far more prepared than they were 20 years ago.
Oh, no question about it. I mean, and even though, and it's funny, I laugh at the idea. It's like, well, these spread offense quarterbacks can't make the quick adjustment into the NFL. I mean, Cam Newton looked to be the most ill-prepared quarterback from coming out of college that you can imagine. What's he do the first 2 weeks? 422 and 432. And why can he do it? Because he's a quarterback, and he's been really in spread sets his entire life, so it's just a matter that, okay, you take a few snaps from center, and you learn how to do that. It's not the hardest thing. Most guys, when they were in high school, had some ability to do that, so you're just kind of, you know, getting back on the bike and working that. And so now, if you have the talent, you can have the ability to make the quick adaption in the NFL. Watch how quickly next year's class of quarterbacks adapt. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're seeing, you know, good movement this year. What do you see next year's class?
I know, Andrew Luck and company. That'll be quite interesting when that happens. Let's talk about the Raiders and the Patriots game coming up. And my feeling is, and doing a lot of the research, and I've been covering this team for a long time, and I know I'm pretty good at knowing how they react in certain situations. And to me, this week is a bad matchup for the Raiders because the Patriots very rarely lose back-to-back games. And they're angry. I know they're upset. I know people are crapping all over the defense in some cases, and rightly so on some players. But I think this is a bad spot for the Raiders because I think the Jets handed them that game last week.
Well, yeah, but also, yeah, the Jets handed them the game because, you know, they didn't have the speed to match up with some of the speed elements of the Raiders team. You know, there's a bad aspect, and I want to try to maybe go back and forth with you to see if you agree with it. Mm-hmm. You know, the bad matchup going into the Jets-Oakland game was the Jets really don't have three legitimate offensive linemen on the field, and so now they're going against the bully type of Raider defensive line, advantage Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now you know when you can bounce Darren McFadden outside, and those receivers, there's so much more speed than the Jets because the Jets right now do not have a very fast front seven. So those are the aspects that was making it predictable there'd be a victory for Oakland in this game. Where I like to wonder how you look at this. I mean, I think it's pretty evident from the playoff game and that Detroit preseason game where the Raiders match up, one, is that their bully defensive line will cause problems for the Patriots. And if you get around Tom Brady's legs, there's difficulty. When you match up the Patriots against man-to-man coverage teams, that's a problem for the Patriots. But here's where the advantage slips. And see if you agree with this.
Mm-hmm.
As we talked that they play man in Oakland, they're just not very good at playing man in Oakland.
No, I totally agree with you 100%. And that's why I just think it's a bad matchup for the Raiders. I'm not worried about any hostile environment or anything like that because I've seen the Patriots go on the road many times in hostile environments and after bad losses. And they don't just usually win. They win by a pretty decent amount most of the time. If you look back over the years, that's why they've only lost back-to-back games a couple of times. Especially now, I mean, Chris Johnson hasn't practiced this week, and not that he's anything great, but, I mean, with DeMarcus Van Dyke as his backup, I mean, their corners and their secondary, I'm just not seeing it. And I know McFadden I'm a big fan of McFadden's, and certainly he had a great game last week and all seasons long, averaging about 129 yards a game. But the Patriots, for the most part, have done a pretty good job over the years of limiting guys like that to less than 100 yards, or I should say a quiet 100 yards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the one thing. I mean, the quiet 100 yards, as long as, you know the way the game is in 2011 where drive starts now are at the 20 and the 27, instead of the 27 on kickoffs, there's going to be more yardage because now, you're starting, but it's going to be, it affects your ability to get those long touchdown drives. And so now, if the Raiders have to settle for field goals, then of course it turns into a one-sided game because the Patriots, can finish the drives and get the touchdowns. You know, the one sad part for the Patriots, if obviously I don't think Aaron Hernandez is going to play.
No.
If you have the combination of Hernandez and Gronkowski going against those safeties, hey, listen, there's mismatches right now from the wide receivers going against the Raider cornerbacks. The mismatches against if you had the two Patriot tight ends going against the safeties is immense.
Mm-hmm. And you saw Chad Ochocinco last week and started off okay with a nice sliding catch and another catch, but that one drop touchdown pass, which was perfectly thrown, that's something that just cannot happen. Even though the Patriots recovered and scored a few minutes later, but he has got to have, not that it has to be a breakout game where he has 200 yards or 100 yards, but if he can't get free in against this defense, then there may be some problems here down the road for this guy and this team.
Yeah, and the one thing is that unlike, say, T.O., Chad is a good catch. He's a good hands guy.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he's one of the best snatch the ball out of the air guys, I think, in this era. He's very, very good at that. You know, where the problem is right now, I think he's probably pressing because, you know, one of the reasons for that interception that happened is that the safety realized that there's only like three routes that he was going to run because they looked back and say, okay, listen, he hasn't had enough time to really pick up what Tom Brady likes to do yet. So he knew what three routes he ran at Cincinnati, and he knew when the play was coming that way where to position himself and get the pick. And so I think that, obviously Chad is a very smart receiver, but he also has to make sure that he catches the ball, which he is very good at doing. But, you know, here's limitations right now to what he can offer to Tom Brady because, you know, he's had not enough time to learn this offense and not enough time to execute it.
So how do you see this game shaping up on Sunday? I know many people think it's going to be a classic. Maybe I just don't see it turning out that way towards the end. I've watched the film of the Jets and the Raiders a couple times now. I've gone through everything. I've seen that game that Oakland played on Monday night against Denver might be one of the ugliest games I've ever seen.
Buffalo, didn't see the Cincinnati San Francisco game.
I did see some of that. You're right.
Yeah.
I watched the whole thing, Denver and Oakland that first Monday night. The Bills, I still don't know what you have in the Bills yet, despite the 3-0. But how do you see this game shaping up, the Patriots and Raiders on Sunday?
I mean, I think it'll be a little bit of a shootout, at the moment, the Raiders can't hold anybody to under 400 yards. And so, with that in mind, I think that it'll probably be very similar to, maybe not as high scoring as the Oakland Buffalo game, but I think, you know, probably in that, 31-20 type of game, mm-hmm. because I think what will end up happening is that the Patriots, as long as they play smarter in their secondary, you know, should be able to hold them to field goals and not touchdowns. And so maybe it's 23 points, but I can't imagine that the Raiders can put five touchdown drives up against the Patriots, even though they are at home. You know, Hugh Jackson has done a wonderful job of calling plays. I mean, he's getting absolutely the most possible out of Jason Campbell. And for years, I was very critical of the wide receivers, that they had at the Raiders. They've now got some really mm-hmm. good receivers. If you watch Denarius Moore,
yes.
You know, he is one of the most exciting rookies in this league. He is sensational. I mean, this guy is, I think, their best wide receiver. But as long as they have Darius Heyward-Bey out there, that's an advantage for the Patriots, and that'll help out getting field goal drives and not touchdown drives for Oakland.
I know everybody's asking this question, Bills and the Lions. And I ask you this because, you know, I mean, I've seen startup teams like this before. I mentioned the Denver Broncos all the time, starting off 6-0 and not making the playoffs. There have been other teams before that look like in the first quarter of the season, that they're going to surprise everybody and make the playoffs and be the Cinderella story. But I'm just not sure yet what you have in both of these teams. I think particularly interesting this week is going to be Detroit going into Dallas. That's going to be a real good test for them in that environment.
Yeah, but also, I mean, the one thing I think, for two reasons, you probably buy Detroit more than you buy Buffalo. Okay, number one, they started doing it last year. I mean, they won their last four games mm-hmm. last year, and they have a good chance because I think Dallas may be flat because they'll be going on adrenaline and the emotion. I mean, I look at this game for Dallas like I did the Baltimore-Tennessee game. You know, Baltimore comes firing out, beats Pittsburgh, and then plays a dog of a game against the Titans. So I think with all the injuries and the fact there's a bye week, you know, Detroit can go in there and do some things, but I think there's longevity to that team. Even though they cannot run the ball, the quarterback is sensational, and their defense is getting better. Where you look at Buffalo, I think they can sustain it for some time, but I look at it almost one of those baseball sustaining type of things. I mean, if you look in baseball, teams like Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Seattle, they all got off to really good starts, okay? But then all of a sudden the injuries and some bad things happen, and two things can affect the Bills. I think they really do have enough talent right now on offense to keep things going, but if they lose two offensive linemen in any given week, everything starts crashing to a halt. And if they lose a receiver or two, it'll start crashing to a halt. And also, too, I don't think they can sustain that offense in the cold weather and the wind in Buffalo.
And one last game before I let you go, and thanks so much for speaking with John Clayton from ESPN. You see him all over the place on ESPN all during the week and on countless shows. Does a great job, obviously. Now, the other game that I think is going to be intriguing to a lot of people around here in New England, obviously, is the Jets in Baltimore. I expect, even though I'm not a big Rex Ryan guy, I think he's great for the league. Not a big fan of the Jets. You can understand why. But I do think one thing is that that team is going to be motivated after that horrible loss they had in Oakland last week. And I think there's going to be another, you know, they remember last year opening night. And it's going to be another, you know, drag them out, rock them, sock them type low-scoring game that I think is interesting. I know a lot of people like to see points. But this might be a very intriguing game. That's a low-scoring game.
Yeah, I think so, too. And really, the key to the game right now is the injury report. If Lee Evans is not going to be able to play this game, there's no way that I mean, Baltimore does not match up well against man-to-man teams, and that's exactly what the Jets are. They're a man-to-man team. And I've seen it way too many times because, you know, last year it was tougher because there was Derek Mason and T.J. Hushmanzada and Anquan Boldin, really effectively three slot guys. When you have three slot guys going against three coverage cornerbacks, you know, there's no separation, and now you have to wait for the tight end or the running back, Ray Rice, to make be open in the route. That's why everybody accuses Joe Flacco of holding the ball too much. Well, he holds the ball too much because nobody can get open. If Lee Evans play, you know, Torrey Smith will be neutralized because he'll be taken away in man. You can cover Anquan Boldin because he's a slot guy, and that can make it tough, and that can make it interesting for the Jets.
John Clayton of ESPN, thank you so much for taking some time out on the Pete Shepherd Show. I really appreciate it. Hope to talk to you down the road, and we look forward to seeing you on ESPN.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Great. Thanks a lot, John. Appreciate it. John Clayton of ESPN taking us, giving us a few minutes here, and a very insightful guy. And, you know, one of the guys that I really do respect in the national media. I think he gets it. I think, you know, he heard that he kind of has agreed with what I've been saying all year long about the offenses compared to the defenses. I think you just have to look at the entire league, the entire body of work. I know everybody gets caught up around here with just looking at the Patriots, but it's just not that simple. So he likes the Patriots like 31-20, which that's fair. That's fair. I think most people are going to be like that. I'll have my picks in just a second. And some that may surprise you. Some interesting games this week. Some very interesting games this week. Want to email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Might have to reset the webpage one more time, Kevin, before I do my picks. Again, I'm trying to think what we have here on Facebook. Nope, answered all those questions already. So it's going to be, again, some points scored in this game between the Patriots and the Raiders. Trust me, this is a bad matchup for Oakland this week. The Patriots coming off, which I'm sure they consider a horrible loss. I'm sure they couldn't wait to get back on the field, and I really believe this is going to be one of those games where they make them pay, where they hate them pay. Let's see. Let's go to webradio@patriots.com, and it's from Theodore. Hey, Pete, Theodore from Jacksonville, Florida. I was listening to one of your callers, Tyrone. He's giving up on the defense way too early. The defense will get better. Bill knows what he's doing. The talent that we have will come through. Too many vets on defense just fall apart. The Bills winning was the four turnovers. A couple of things. I'm going on a limb. I'm thinking that Price will be put on IR for the rest of the season. I know everyone said it won't happen, but Moss will be back. I just have a good feeling. What are your thoughts? I don't think there's any chance of Randy Moss coming back unless I just don't. I think, well, I shouldn't say, I'd say it's a, I'm 99% sure, exactly, he won't be back. And I say to the Raiders fans, I'm sorry, but 45-17 is my score, Patriots. Finally, I say from week 5 on the offense and defense will be in sync. What are your thoughts? Yeah, I mean, well, the offense is in sync now. They had a, you know, bit of a aberration on this past Sunday. But I don't anticipate that that's going to be the case. And they still put up a whole bunch of points. Gene says, hi, Pete. Here's my AFC East halfway point prediction. Halfway point. We're not even through week three. We're into week three. The Patriots 8-1 with one loss to Buffalo. Buffalo 6-2 with a loss at Cincinnati and the New York football Giants, or game they have favored. Chan Gailey said this week was the biggest job he has now is to get this team to handle success. Miami, 4-4 with losses to New England, Houston, Cleveland, and at San Diego. If Tony Sperano can make it through the bye week without losing his job, he'll win the next four games. He's a good coach. Jets, 2-6 at Oakland, at Baltimore, at New England, Miami, San Diego, and at Buffalo because they are a fraud. Unbelievable. Let's see. This is from Chad, and we'll get to my picks right after this. Hello, Pete, and thanks, Mike, for your advice. If Goodell thinks snow is awesome, he can come to Sweden. I was talking about the game being in New York. No thanks to the goober Tyrone, who was about to say Brady is a step too old. The best thing that could happen this week is that Jason can't ball actually throw against our D, crush McFadden. That is the key to this game. It'll be tough, but if you do, you pretty much handle the game your way. Patriots offense versus Oakland's defense matchup shouldn't even be mentioned. Chris Johnson versus Wes Welker. Another important to point out is absolutely crucial. You talk about high school, college kids that learn the spread offense as well and so early and non, and on the new passing trend the NFL has chosen those last years. But Pete, tell me, how can any team play D this year with a ludicrous roughing, breathing on the quarterback interference, illegal contact that's being called? You're right. Absolutely. That's a big part of it. The D can't touch receivers, can't lower the boom when they cross the middle, and can't even breathe on the quarterback after he throws it. All those rip-off calls by those referee tools make you give a ball 10 yards all the time. How can you even defend? If the Jets have a fourth and foot situation, Rex will probably go for it. And thanks for Chad with that email. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is that time to gather the kids around the computer. All right, put dinner on hold. Turn the up and down. Time for my picks. Week 4 against the number on the Pete Shepherd Show. What a week I had last week. 12-4. Now 3-0 on my Monster Meat Miraculous picks. All right? 3-0. So I hope you can, you know, you bought your second home in whatever state you like. So here we go. Starting with the picks this week, and I'll give you my Patriots pick and miraculous pick at the end of the show. Coming up, first, Dallas is home, getting, they are -1 at home against the Detroit Lions. A very interesting call here. I know that Romo's going to get another injection, okay? I know that's happening. Tough spot for Detroit here. As John Clay was just talking about, we saw a trend last year. We saw how this team was developing, but I don't know. Dallas only getting one at home. I hate to do it. I got to go with the Cowboys in this spot here, -1. I mean, the line is begging you to take Detroit. I'm saying don't fall for it. I like Dallas -1. New Orleans is a 7-point favorite at Jacksonville. I think this will be a tougher game than most people think, but in the end, New Orleans wins this by about 10 points. They are just too talented. I'm just not a big fan of Jacksonville at all. New Orleans -7. They get the call. Philadelphia is a 9-point favorite at home against San Francisco. Again, way too much for the Nightmare Squad, a team that everybody thinks is much better than they really are. Still don't know if Michael Vick's going to survive the game. And with that being said, 9 points is way too much. I take the 49ers in that spot, plus the 9. Washington at St. Louis. Another tough spot here, this time for Washington. Monday night team going on the road. You know what that means? Trouble! I'm taking the Rams here, plus 1.5 at home to get the job done. Cleveland is home, getting 1 against Tennessee. I'm not a big believer in the Browns. Not at all. I like Tennessee in this one. They're just a better team. Tennessee, plus 1 is the call here. Buffalo at Cincinnati. Well, here is where Buffalo, I can't believe I'm going to do this, but here's where Buffalo suffers their first loss of the season. And I think it'll be ugly. It'll be one of those ugly games where you think they're going to win, but they're just not there mentally yet. I mean, they've got to be in for a letdown. And Cincinnati, of course, is a great week for them because the parole officers didn't have to do anything. Nobody got stoned during the week that we know of to report. So I'm taking the Cincinnati Bengals plus 3 at home against Buffalo. Next up, Minnesota at Kansas City, which could be the crappy game of the week right here. And I'm going to stay on the Chiefs bandwagon. I was last week. They covered the 14.5. I think it was 15.5 by kickoff. I'm going to take the Chiefs here at plus 1.5 at home against Minnesota. As usual, Minnesota will jump out to a 17-0 lead and lose. So that's what I expect again. Matt Castle and Kansas City finally come up with their first win of the year at home. Next, we have the Bears. They're home against Carolina and Cam Newton. Bears are -6.5 right now. I got to tell you, you know my feelings on Cutler and the Bears. I think the Bears win, but I don't think Carolina gets the job done here and covers. I got to go with Carolina plus the 6.5. Riding that great win streak in the monsoon last week against Jacksonville. Go with Cam Newton, plus the 6.5. Interesting game. Houston is -4 at home against Pittsburgh. Very interesting game. I'm taking the Steelers in this spot right here. They may lose, but 4 seems a little much. This to me has a 3-point game written all over it. And I think a lot of people are going to be jumping on Houston here, but Houston is another one of those teams where just when you think they're going to make that run and be unstoppable, they stop themselves. Maybe this isn't the year. Maybe this isn't that year. But they'll have to prove it to me against a Pittsburgh Steelers team that has looked like crap 2 of the last 3 weeks. okay? And then played a crappy team in Seattle. They didn't look good against Indianapolis last week. Thank God for Troy Polamalu. But I'll take the Steelers here, +3 or +4 against Houston. Next up, Atlanta is at crappy Seattle. I just think Seattle stinks. Atlanta's not going to lose back-to-back games. They're 4.5-point favorites. Seattle's got nothing. It's too bad they don't play Arizona every week, but they don't. Atlanta goes in, and they redeem themselves for that awful performance last week against Tampa Bay. Atlanta, -4.5, gets the call. Speaking of Arizona, the Giants are 1-point favorites at Arizona. As my good buddy Lee Corso says, not so fast right here. Yeah, Giants, this is what they do. They look good against the Eagles, okay? Jump out to a lead. Everybody thought they wouldn't. I picked the Giants last week to cover. I thought it was a divisional game and all that garbage, and it panned out. But they are favored. No way should be favored on the road. I'm sorry. Arizona. This one is an easy one. Arizona gets the job done here. Arizona +1 against the Giants. That's the wrong team is favored in that game. San Diego is a 7-point favorite at home against Miami. Tony Sparano's job could be on the line here. So I think Miami's going to fight with +7. I take Miami Dolphins +7. Green Bay is home, 12.5-point favorites against the Denver Broncos. You know how I feel about big lines early, but this is one, as big a Kyle Orton fan as I am, to keep it close, I'm not seeing it, I'm not feeling it. I think Green Bay wins this one comfortably by at least 2 touchdowns, and that's enough to cover the 12.5-point spread. I'll take Green Bay -12.5 in that spot. Sunday night, great game coming up. Baltimore hosting the New York hated Jets on national TV. Trumpet, please. Thank you. Was that a French horn? Not really sure. It's a nice brass section that they have. Baltimore is a 3.5-point favorite. Remember last year, I think there were a 3-point dog going into the Jets on opening week, and Baltimore found a way to win. I hate to do this, it pains me, but this is, again, my head going over my heart, as it should be, when you're looking at NFL against the number. I gotta figure sexy, big, fat mouth Rexy is gonna have his team ready. They're gonna be pissed from the performance they doled out last week. I think this is a 13-10, 16-13 type game. That half a point is huge. Right now, I'll take the Jets +3.5 against Baltimore, the Ravens in Baltimore. Monday night. It's Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are 10-point favorites over Indianapolis. And here's the problem with the Colts. They got some major issues right now at quarterback. So it looks like Painter's going to start at quarterback. And it's just a bad spot for Indy. They played tough at home against Pittsburgh and lost by a field goal Sunday night. And I think it gets much worse for them. I think Tampa Bay has their way with the Indianapolis Colts. Another line. I'm going to lay the 10, take Tampa Bay in this one at -10. And now for the Patriots. Last but not least, Patriots getting only 4 at the Raiders, because the line's mistake of the week is absolutely this game. The Patriots should be favored by 8.5 or 9 in this game, in my opinion. You are getting a bargain at this pick at -4. And as I've said, I'm not going to go over all the numbers I brought to you again. I've looked up back-to-back losses. I've looked up the Raiders and Jets. I've watched their games. I've seen the Patriots play. I know what they're capable of. The Patriots are going to win this game, and they're going to win it handily by a score of 44-24. That is my prediction. Lay the points with the Patriots. They get the job done. They put up the most points and maybe the most offense, which is scary, that they put up all year against this horrible defense of the Oakland Raiders. I think it's terrible. And I think Patriots coming off are upset. They're pissed. And it's a bad spot on the road. It's a bad spot at home. Sorry for the Raiders. The hostile environment thing doesn't bother me one bit. Patriots are more than used to that. They usually respond in a big way when they lose a game. And I like them big in this one. 44-24. And now it's time for my miraculous lock of the week.
And now, it's time for Pete the Meat Shepherd's Monster Lock of the Week.
I got to go with the hometown team this week for the first time. They are my can't-miss lock monster miraculous lock of the week. The Patriots minus four. Mark it down. I am 3-0 so far this year on my monster miraculous picks, coming off a 12-4 week against the number last week. I like the Patriots 44-24. Of course, I like the over in this game, and I like the Patriots to easily cover a line that is way off, in my opinion. We shall see. That's going to do it for the Pete Shepherd Show. Thanks for John Clayton of ESPN for checking in. My buddy Mike Cambria filling in very nicely today for Brian Lowe. We'll have the fantasy football low down back next week with Brian on Thursday. I'll be back next Tuesday. We'll break down the Patriots in the Raider game and look ahead to the Jets. Oh, my God. The Jets are coming into town next Sunday. But enjoy the rest of your week, everybody. Enjoy your weekend. And thanks to Kevin Collins for producing this whole thing. Thanks to everybody who emailed and called in. And thanks again for your continued support. So great to be back on, talking with everybody, and Facebooking and tweeting and all that stuff. I love it. Take care. Patriots 44, Raiders 24. Mark it down, everybody. PFW guys, you're listening? 44-24, Patriots. Trust in Pete. Believe me. Talk to you Tuesday at 4. Bye-bye.
Say the movie, dog.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show with Pete Shepherd on Patriots.com Radio.